So we're going to look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, and we'll read from verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Jehovah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high. The lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground and brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me I will seek you. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And we trust the Lord will add his blessing to that reading of his word as we've read it again this morning together. Want to find one of the verses I want to read to you in a moment. Here we are. Well, the Bible Education Services trustees met in Dublin on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I was there. It's the first time we've met together for 18 months in face-to-face. We've managed with Zoom, but we thought it's easier. And believe it or not, it's easier for folks from England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland to end up in Dublin. Yesterday's reading for Our Daily Bread, I read at the beginning of the session yesterday morning, where Jeremiah says in Lamentation, "Though the Lord's through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." And we briefly reminded ourselves of the mercies of the Lord, of the compassion of the Lord, of the faithfulness of the Lord, and then the provision of the Lord. The Lord is my portion. And we had a lovely time of prayer when we just thanked the Lord for his mercy, his compassion, his faithfulness, and his provision. We started the meeting about 8:30, and then we finished, I don't know, about 11:30, just in time for me to get a quick lift to the airport to get a plane back to Southampton. And it was lunchtime, and I was feeling a bit hungry. There was a sort of coffee bar by the departure gate, so I saw this sandwich, and it said on the sandwich, fantastic, delicious, and it also said perfection. And I thought, it's going to be a good sandwich, this. But I have never, ever, I think, tasted such a dry, tasteless sandwich. We sometimes use the expression, is the label on the tin what it says in the tin? Well, it certainly wasn't. And yet I couldn't help thinking of these verses we'd read earlier in the morning when we reminded ourselves of one who is indeed really wonderful. His compassions, they never fail. His mercy is always there. The Lord is our provision. And he never, ever changes. So Malachi says, I am the Lord, I change not. And that encouraged me. Things of this earth, they may make out to be good or delightful or delicious or whatever, but they sometimes fail us dismally, don't they? And I thought, amidst all Jeremiah's problems, he was able to praise God for all that had happened. And in a way, that's how it is with our psalm, our chapter this morning. It is a song of praise. And that's the heading that the NIV gives us, a song of praise. We think that this prophecy that it refers to in chapter 26 was Isaiah looking beyond the time when Israel would be taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, and beyond the time of the exile into a time in the future. And so he's looking into the future. They were going through hard and difficult times, dark times. But amidst it all, they were able to praise God. And I thought that was quite amazing, because that's exactly what Jeremiah does. He's the one who's prophesying that God will come in punishment and they will go into exile, and much of Jeremiah is linked with that thought. But amidst it all, in lamentation, he's able to say, yes, despite it all, we can praise God for his mercy, his compassion, his faithfulness. And that's in a sense what Isaiah is doing. The previous chapters, as you will know, no doubt, well, I think there's only words to describe them, doom and gloom. He's talking about some of the punishments that some of the nations will experience. And the previous chapter 24 says the Lord's devastation of the earth. These were difficult times of prophecy in Isaiah's life. But amidst it all, he suddenly is able to say a song of praise. And maybe it's difficult humanly, but spiritually, whatever we're going through, we should still look up and praise God, because he never lets us down. He's always the same. He's always there for us. He is a God to whom we can worship. And that's been a thought this morning, hasn't it? That we just come here, forget about ourselves, to worship him. Well, this is another song of praise. You'll notice chapter 25 has the same heading, praise to the Lord. And then chapter 26, a song of praise. There are four of these particular praise songs in this section of Isaiah. And it's good to note that amidst all, as I say, the doom and gloom, he's got something that he can praise God for. One commentator calls it comfort for difficult days. And I guess that we all need that, don't we? I think most people, when they got to the end of 2022, said that was one of the most difficult years for various reasons. It certainly was for us. And we all were looking into 2023 to be somewhat better. Well, if we look on the weather and the climate, I think it's been even worse. But we were saying this morning, it seems to have never stopped raining for such a long time in one way or another. But that's how it is. Difficult days. But here is comfort in those difficult days. Just to explain the first three words, in that day. And you'll notice that that comes quite often in Isaiah. He's the one who emphasizes in that day. You'll see it in chapter 27. He starts that chapter in that day. In chapter 25 and verse 9, he talks about in that day. And he's talking about the day in the future, of course, the day when God brings to a climax all his purposes, and they're looking towards that day. So it's beyond Isaiah's day, beyond the exile, beyond the coming back, way into the future, but he looks forward in anticipation. It is, in a sense, not just the song of praise, it's not just the prophecy that Isaiah is bringing, but it is God's promise for future days. And
Looking at it, I've divided it up a little bit. The first few verses I've called Peace for God's People. Peace for God's People. And he is particularly talking about peace in the city of Jerusalem, a strong city, its walls and its ramparts. God makes salvation. He's looking forward to a time when there will be peace in Jerusalem. We pray about that. We're encouraged to pray for peace in Jerusalem. And sometimes we may wonder when we see what's happening in present days whether there ever can be and ever will be peace in Jerusalem. But what he has promised, as we read in Romans 4, he is able to perform. There will be peace in Jerusalem, a strong city with walls and ramparts. There will be security, and open the gates. That's a sign of peace. If you're at war, you close the gates. You make sure that your ramparts are patrolled by soldiers. It's a time of security in every sense. But if the gates are open, then of course it means there's peace. Anybody can enter in. And he talks about the righteous may enter, the nation that keeps faith, the nation that looks to God. And then comes these beautiful words of verses 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace. If you look back into chapter 24, you'll see that there's a mention there of destruction. Therefore, God is going to destroy the place of the earth. This ruined city lies desolate. The entrance to every house is barred. In the streets they cry out for wine. All joy turns to gloom. That's what's going to happen in the cities. There's judgment, and the chapters 14 to 24 refer to different countries, different nations, different cities where God will judge. That's how it's going to be. But not in Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem there is going to be peace. But there is a sort of order here in verses 1 and 2. Salvation, and then righteousness, and then faith. They all link together, as they have done in our own lives. We've come into salvation. Thank God for that. We're saved. We have been brought into righteousness, as we were again reminded from Romans chapter 4, where Abraham was credited, or it was accounted to him as righteousness, and it was on the basis of his faith. That's our spiritual journey, if you like. Salvation, righteousness, and then faith. But also for the nation of Judah, in the land of Judah, God's salvation would come. And the people will be brought into righteousness, and the people to be encouraged in faith. And here we have the wonderful words of encouragement in these dark and difficult times. As they look forward into the future, they were reminded that God is a precious God. You, he says, will keep in perfect peace. They're reminded to look upward. And that's such an important thing, isn't it? Look upward. You, he says. Not just look at the city and the gates that are open and the things that show security and openness in Jerusalem, but look upward to God. I made a New Year's resolution. I won't say I'm getting on too well with it, but I'm making an effort. I thought, which part of the Bible do I know least about? And I think there could be quite a list, but Job was top of the list. So 2023, I intend to spend my time whenever I can studying the book of Job. And it's a very fascinating story. And in Job 23, Job is seeking the Lord. And he goes and he says, I'm looking to the north, the south, the east and the west. Or some translations say, I'm looking in front of me, behind me, to the left of me, to the right of me. He's looking for God. And I read one commentator who said, well, if Job had had any sense, he'd have stopped looking north, south, east and west. He'd have looked upward. And there's a sense of truth in that, isn't it? And that's what Israel was doing, or Judah was doing. They were looking up to a precious God. And in that precious God, they had found perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace. What a priceless possession. We wonder whether there ever will be peace in Ukraine or in other parts of the Middle East where there's constant problems. Nation to nation, of course, there will be peace in a future day, but at present that peace seems to have disappeared. But we know that that's true in so many lives, isn't it? If you had a shop that said you can get free peace here, there'd be queues, wouldn't there? Because everybody's looking for peace in one way or another. Some find it in a bottle, some find it in entertainment of different ways. But here's the peace that comes from God. It's a perfect, perfect peace. And it's priceless. But we know it's true, don't we? We know that Romans 5 and 1 tells us, therefore being justified by grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the reminder, of course, that Paul has in Philippians about peace which passeth understanding in Philippians 4. We have that precious peace. And I guess you're probably thinking, and I thought we might finish with this hymn later. I think it was the Bishop of Exeter who wrote these words. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. It is enough. Earth's struggle soon shall cease. And Jesus calls to heaven's perfect peace. Well, heaven will have perfect peace, but there's a measure in which we can find perfect peace in this world in which we live. It's a priceless possession. Whose mind, this is the key to finding that peace, whose mind is stayed on you. As we have him constantly in our minds, then we have that peace. I'm reminded of Peter walking on the water towards the Lord, and he sees the storm and feels the wind and senses the storm, and he takes his eyes off the Lord, I think, and look perhaps down and starts to sink. But he had kept his mind stayed on the Lord. Had he done so, I'm quite sure he wouldn't have started to sink. It's when we have our minds, our hearts stayed on him. That's the focus, isn't it? Much expressed in the words of Hebrews 12, looking onto Jesus, fixing our eyes on him. And then, because he trusts in you, this is the basis of it all, a faith in the Lord to find that perfect peace which he alone can give. And there is quite a link between peace and righteousness. Listen to this, chapter 32 of Isaiah. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Isaiah 32, 17 and 18. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. This effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. The Lord said, my peace I give unto you. And how important that is. And so those words in Romans 5 that I quoted, and Philippians 4, and now Isaiah 32. And Psalm 85 says this, love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Never quite sure what that means, but it means that there's a very close link between righteousness and peace. They're so close, and they were seen particularly, of course, in the Lord Jesus. So there is perfect peace. And it says at the end, for the Lord is the rock eternal. And I believe some of the margin versions say, the Lord is the rock eternal, or the rock of ages. the Rock of Ages. And it is said that when Top Lady wrote that great hymn, the Rock of Ages, that was the verse that he had on his mind, that there was strength, there was help for those whose mind is stayed on him in the storm of life, as it were. The Lord is the rock eternal, the Rock of Ages, the rock that we can firmly clasp and know the reality of. And of course that would mean something to the people of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is pretty much on a sort of mountain in terms of our sort of country, high up, but it's a high rock. It's a very secure position. It would never be easy to fight against or attack Jerusalem, though it has been done, I think, over about 25 times through the times of history. But it is a rock there that's secure. And in the future day, Jerusalem will, of course, be secure, being destroyed, but it will be secure in a future day. So that takes us away from peace. And then the next word is very simple because it occurs a couple of times in the NIV. The path of righteousness is level. In verses 5 and 6, just very briefly, having exhorted Jerusalem, he says that where there is no righteousness and there's just pride, he humbles those who dwell on high. He levels it to the ground. Nations, cities which are proud and arrogant, he will bring to nothing. There will be nothing left. It will be brought to nothing. And that's, of course, typical scripture, isn't it? Right through scripture, there is that emphasis that God hates pride. It's one of the things that he's very much opposed to. And as you read the earlier parts of Isaiah, proud nations like Babylon and Assyria and Egypt, in God's way, will be totally and completely destroyed. But the emphasis is not so much what God is going to do to them, but what we should be doing ourselves. The path of the righteous is level. He opens up a pathway for us, and we can walk in that pathway. And it is, of course, the path of righteousness. Psalm 23, he leads me beside the still waters, and he makes us walk in the ways or the paths of righteousness. That's what the Lord leads us as a shepherd, through the way that he wants us to go, the path of righteousness. And that's the way that we should aim for in our walk, walking in that path of righteousness. The direction is the way of righteousness. That is the path which is level. And then you'll notice it says in the NIV, you make the way of the righteous smooth. That's the way we go. And then he says, we're walking in the way of your laws. We wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our heart. So I thought of that as not only the direction, that's the pathway you're going, but then you're doing so walking in the ways of your laws. The word of God is such a wonderful guide to the way we go, isn't it? Whatever way we take, we follow the word of God. And it's often been said, it's our instruction book for life. And there's so much here that guides us and helps us, isn't it? And we need that constantly, day by day. And the word of God is precious to us, so we can follow his way or his laws. We delight in them. And then the desire, my soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. That's the desire of our hearts. And it's great to notice that, and it's important, isn't it? That amidst all the difficulties of life, we can find a way that God wants us to go, that is marked out for us. And that way delights in the law of the Lord. It follows the word of God to do the will of God and to go the way of God. And then, of course, my soul yearns for him, longing for him. And that's one of the most special things, isn't it? Particularly as we meet together at Lord's Day morning, we do that yearning for him, longing for him, that we might know his presence. And I think it was said in prayer, right, in the early days, early moments of our time together, everything is in him. And Isaiah has said, if you want to look in the right direction, you look at the Lord. Follow his pathway, but realize that you need to be guided by him. Just like you were in history, and there was the cloud by day and the fire by night, God was leading you the way that he wanted you to go. And that's how it is for us. And our soul yearns to be near and close to him. And then, just very briefly, the next two or three verses, the punishment of the enemy. So we've had the peace for God's people and the pathway of God's people, but then very quickly in those next verses, there's punishment. Though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. Those three sentences are very significant, aren't they? Because we're in days, many, many, many years after Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, wrote these words down. Hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet man hasn't changed, and the situation doesn't seem to have changed. They do not learn righteousness, and some of our laws we know are contrary to the Word of God. Righteousness is not to be found in our nation. Hardly in any way is it. It behoves us to show righteousness in any way that we can, but unfortunately it isn't shown by the majority of people and in the majority of the society in which we live. They go on doing evil. Evil. And whether it's in our country or whether it's in other countries. I was thinking, just listening to the news again, I think this morning, nearly everywhere somebody is shooting somebody or attacking somebody in a way that's so wrong and so evil. And what leads people to do it? Well, I don't know their motivation, but there's evil everywhere. That's the world in which we live. But this is so sad, isn't it? They regard not the majesty of the Lord. And we do that, and we seek to, don't we, when we sing words like majesty, majesty. We're thinking of the wonder of the Lord, but they regard not the majesty of the Lord. When we were in Israel the last time, our guide, who was a Russian Jew, but a Christian, born again, no doubt, in our minds, and that doesn't follow the Jewish way of life at all in terms of their traditions and rituals. But she said, do pray for our people, my people, because they don't learn righteousness, and they continue doing evil, and they do not regard the majesty of the Lord. So not only, of course, in our nation, but across the world, there's need for prayer, isn't there? And they need to not only pray, but to live the life that stands out for him. And verse 12 is where I finish, and then this afternoon we'll start again there. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. And they do not see the hand of the Lord is there, just in verse 11. And then, of course, all that you have accomplished, all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. When I first looked at that chapter, I thought, where are we going here? But there's some tremendous truths there, aren't there? And no doubt why somebody said this is comfort for difficult days, because it is a comfort to know that we can find peace. It's a comfort to know that God marks out the path that we live. And it's a comfort to know his presence and help as we move forward following him in the way that he wants us to go. So just before we sing, just to say, I'm going to leave at the back a few BS calendars. We've got a few spares. I know giving out a calendar in March is a bit late in the day, but this one's special, particularly because every month there's a picture of somebody somewhere in the world doing Bible education services, Bible time lessons. And I'll show some pictures of some of these places this afternoon, all being well, by Zoom. value prayer for BES, of course, because there's so much going on, and we were so encouraged yesterday by what God is doing around the world through Bible time lessons. Jean and I,
let's pray, shall we? Father, the world is looking for peace internationally, nationally, and individually, but we know they'll never find it unless they find it in the Lord Jesus. And we give thanks this morning for that peace that we have, that perfect peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have come to know the God of peace that Paul writes about, and understand in a measure something of the peace which passeth understanding. And we realise, O God, the condition is that our minds are stayed on you. Because as we look to you, and as we follow you, and as we trust you, we shall find that perfect peace. But Father, in this world there will always be that darkness around us, and enmity and battle and all the things that we know we face day by day. But we look forward to that eternal peace which is found in the presence of the Lord Jesus, where we all will be one day with him, a peace that will never, never end. Father, encourage us in these days in which we live. We're very conscious of the pressures and stresses of life, but we give thanks that in yourself we find all that we need, and we can trust you for the future, for the day ahead, for the future, and in every way, because we know that we're leaning on you and you will never ever let us down. We give thanks for this and ask your parting blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus.